Blog Talk Radio.
Long ago, in a time before and beyond, an eternal being full of hope set out on an adventure. Innocent of the dangers of the universe, this being, this adventurer, some say this fool, set out on her journey. Bravely moving onward, this adventurer came to a conclusion that for progress to occur on this journey, this fool must master certain skills. She gathers all of the necessary tools, the chalice, the pentacle, the sword, the wand, and begins to engage in manipulating of the elements. The brave, innocent fool is now a magician. As the skilled magician moves onward, she realizes that yes, mastery of the world around her is important, but behold, there are worlds out there, the worlds of secret intuitive wisdom. The magician wishes to understand this wisdom. She then comes across two beautiful pillars. These pillars are of logic and spirit, and between them sits the High Priestess. She teaches her the secrets of this intuitive wisdom. The magician moves onward. The magician pondered. Now that I have acquired these skills, what can I create with them? The magician then encounters the Empress, the mother of Earth, healing, fertility, and giving. Learning from her, the magician sets out to create beautiful things. As she moves onward, she is stopped by the Emperor. The Emperor says, "Wait, young magician. Before you set off intending on creation, you must know that there are rules, structure, and authoritative ideas that you will need to make sense of your creation." She learns these lessons and moves onward. Then she hears another voice. "Fear not, young traveler. I will teach you to see the peace within that structure. I will show you the value of convention." It was a Hierophant. This man was some sort of priest. Our adventurer learns the ways of this mystic priest, then moves onward again. The magician fool now notices that on her journey, she desires more choices. She as well notices desire itself. She begins to understand the nature of attraction, of lovers. Our adventurer, magician, fool, begins to learn that there are two sides, at least, to any issue. She discovers her own dark side as well in the process. She must learn to trust herself. Strength is required. She may need to look inward to find in herself the wise teacher, the hermit, on a mission of self-realization. Knowing now that the wheel of fortune can spin both ways, she understands the nature of justice. Reward, punishment, cause and effect, balanced decisions. She learns to be patient and not to become too attached to material things. That is what the Hanged Man told her in a meditation. She will learn that death is only a new beginning. So it is important to understand others. It is important to understand and to have a temperate, balanced approach to life, as truth does not live in the absolutes or extremes. And if her personal devils catch up with her, lightning can strike the tower, sending her crashing to the ground and putting her in a position to rebuild a lesson learned. This eternal being, during the rebuilding process, will learn that there is always hope and that a wish upon a star can be an amazingly powerful thing. Now inspired by the light of the moon, the magician fool is ready to feel the liberation of the sun. The great star of the morning, revitalized and with an open heart and open mind, our adventurer is resurrected. Hearing the trumpets of the archangels, the fool now knows the transformative qualities that change can bring. Now the fool, our adventurer, this eternal being, understands her place in the world and in the universe. Knowing that all things are possible and understanding that all things can come about, the process of growing and learning will continue. A new cycle will soon begin. The chance to again experience the brave innocence of the fool is certain. Long from now, in a time after all afters and beyond all beyonds, an eternal being full of hope sets out on her adventure. Welcome, everyone, to a special Sunday night edition of Main Street Universe, a Sunday evening divination. That is my introduction, explaining in my own very short and quick way the adventure of the fool through the major arcana of the tarot. And now we will start with a song from my friends Woven Green, and then right to the readings after the song. Here they are, Woven Green.
The full moonlit nights, an infant cries in the great void of silence before we knew time. A miracle spawned the dawn of life. Hear all the stories of how we came to be. Our legends live silent.
with our sometimes funny board to operate. Sorry for the burst of volume at the end. That was Woven Green. They've been on the show before. They're friends of mine. They're an amazing band. I love that song, and I love many songs by them. I would like to incorporate Jim and Ashley's playing, and Ashley's voice, of course, and my demo, which I'm still working on. It's been on the back burner a little bit as some other projects have come up, but it's kind of going to be a new recent focus, if you will. So for now, I see we have a friend in the chat room, which is Magical Hummingbird. And hello, Hummingbird. It's great to see you here again. And I've known her for a little while now, I guess. And she does some podcasts herself and is very knowledgeable in the ways of goddess wisdom and Temple of Isis and all that. And I see we have some callers. And to make my life a little easier, I prefer a mouse. So I'm going to operate the studio page with my mouse. I just got. There is a 313 caller and a 610 for both of you listening, and I will get to you both. I'm going to take 313 first, as it was the first one that called. And turning the microphone on now. Hello, 313. Are you there?
Hello, my name's Mike. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm checking out the show for the first time.
Okay, great. And did you have a question or just a discussion, or did you want a reading?
Reading would be awesome if that's all right.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. And as well, discussion. Anybody can call in just to talk about something if they wish, like if the readings are slow to happen and such. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead and shuffle these a bit. And tell me when to stop. I'm shuffling, so just when it feels good to you, just say stop.
Stop.
Okay. Now I'm going to divide the cards into three piles. One, two, and three. I'm imagining you're just wanting a general message.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. You didn't ask a specific question, so I thought maybe a general message. It can be specific or general, whichever people like.
Well,
and okay, we
I
got three
have...
piles here. Pick from one, two, or three.
Three.
Okay. Now pick from one or two.
One.
Okay, and then we know what the final answer will be. I just like to do that to get the person's voice and to get their involvement a little bit. And
sure.
Helps put their energy into the thing a little bit, I think. Okay, and here are three pretty interesting cards. And they're all in reverse. And by reverse, it means upside down. The first one is the Five of Wands, reversed. Now, this card, reversed, is actually not that bad, because some people don't like to read reversed, and some people think that if a card is upside down, that it means a bad thing. That literally it all depends on the situation and the card and how you look at life. The Five of Wands, reversed, is actually a pretty good card, offering the advice of letting go of stalemate combat. The Five of Wands, upright, is a five men sort of all combating each other with these sticks, and it's a complete stalemate, and it's going nowhere. And I'm going to go ahead on the other two cards and then tell you how I think they combine. The next one is the Seven of Cups reversed. And the Seven of Cups reversed is, again, one that's not that bad reversed. Now, the final one is the Six of Coins, sometimes called the Six of Pentacles, reversed. And this, if I look at these all together, I get the impression that there's something, it's good to let go of old combat, and it'll start to clear things up. Like, not, don't get caught up in a bunch of mucky muck. Don't get caught up in a bunch of emotional nonsense and combat. And the Seven of Cups upright often means confusion. And I'm seeing this, since it's reverse, meaning soon some confusion about something you felt a bit stalemated by is going to be lifted, and that this confusion is going to fall away from you, and you'll start to see things clearly soon. But the Six of Pentacles reversed is a little bit of concern, because Six of Pentacles upright means there's extra money. It's kind of telling me that things may be a little bit tight. So things aren't taking off exactly like you would want. But the confusion from the past will begin to lift away soon. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick another card that will be sort of, you know, an enhancer or a solution card. In fact, I might pick two of them. All right. Okay, here's exactly what I'm getting from this. And these two were major arcana. So this one is the World, and it's the World upside down. So this is telling me that things aren't exactly going how you would like, perhaps for a project, but some of that is starting to fall away now because of the confusion falling away from the Seven of Cups. And the Six of Coins behind it, reversed, is, again, it's not, the abundance isn't quite coming to you yet. And again, the World reversed, which is sort of the ultimate abundance card, you could say, on many levels. This is showing me it's time to be patient, because the last card is the Hanged Man. And the Hanged Man is about deep spiritual patience, and also can be a very good sign, because by the time you get to the Hanged Man, this is a deeply spiritual card of patience, and that good things are on the way. However, I was definitely getting the impression from the other cards, and the Six of Coins reverse here is the one that just caught my attention, that, you know, it's not quite going well for you as far as something that you want to work out economically, abundance, but it's starting to work itself out. The confusion is starting to fade away. The stalemate is starting to end. The World still isn't quite there with you yet. You know, that it's still not there, but with patience. And I'm going to pull another one, because with patience, soon. Yeah, okay. I pulled two more. And this Hanged Man is very important, because the Hanged Man is all about meditation and patience. Gather everything together and gather your wisdom together, because soon this stalemate stuff is going to end. And in fact, the next card after that is pretty good for that, because it's the Knight of Swords. And that is a card about soon a great new idea will help you to charge forward. And the card after that, my second other solution card, was the Five of Cups reversed. And again, it's another reversed cups, meaning that this new idea can help you feel less stagnant emotionally and economically and with success in your projects. So soon will be the time, after a little bit of internal searching and regrouping, to charge forward with a good new idea. I'm getting the impression that if it hasn't happened already, a good new idea could be on its way. And that will release. The Five of Cups upright is a card of sort of emotional loss and, you know, feeling bummed and feeling like your creative things aren't working. At the end of this reading, the Five of Cups is upside down, meaning that it will be the opposite, that soon with this good new idea that you'll finally start feeling of value again soon, and that the old confusion and stagnation, because Swords is an air sign card, and air signs mean sometime fairly soon the stagnation will fall away from you, and that these things and the things that you want to happen will start to work soon, but they just haven't exactly quite worked out to the degree you'd like them to at this point.
No, absolutely right. With my fairly new consulting business that I've started, I mean, deals kind of come in and so forth, and I do battle the old way of thinking, like, you know, yeah, it should have happened by now, this, that, and the other, and but I'm starting to see more ease and less attachment to the deal themselves, rather than,
yeah.
And then just kind of going with the flow and just, you know, let it, it's going to happen, it's just, you know, just not on my perception of time.
And as well as, yeah, of course, because I'm in the same boat similarly, that I fall into that, you know, nothing's happening quick enough. And what I definitely get from this reading is the old confusions and old stagnations and old combats that weren't going anywhere, they're beginning to fall away, kind of as you said,
right.
and let that kind of that worry, because Seven of Cups upright can be worry, it was upside down, so that means the worries and the confusions will start to fall away. And I saw definitely the one that really jumped out at me was the Knight of Swords one, which means there might be a really bright new idea you might come with that might really help you. If it hasn't already happened, sometime in the near future.
Yep.
And so charge forward with it. Like, be the patient guy, like you said, and like the Hangman card said, the patient meditative guy hanging upside down from a tree, kind of like, you know, a patient monk. And then this great new idea, and then after that, that you charge forward with it, and you'll start to feel more satisfied, and also on an emotional level, like things will start to... So it's have faith in a new, strong idea. Definitely.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. All right. And did you have another question or inquiry?
I'd kind of be interested in, meanwhile, while I'm doing all this, I still have to, have a part-time job, and
yeah.
I just switched part-time jobs and, you know, bartend, wait tables and stuff, so this one here
mm-hmm.
is going to be more bartending and so forth, so just kind of looking to see maybe if the move was a decent move, and that, you know, financially, with this part-time job, will things be a little bit easier?
Yeah, according to this card, actually, while you were talking, and I always go with those, when one falls out of the deck when you're shuffling, that's considered to be, by some people's practice, other people might do it differently than myself, but that's considered to be like the card is screaming at you. You know, it's kind of jumping out at you. It fell out while you were shuffling, so it's considered...
Right.
This one is a very good one because it's the Judgment card, and it sounds funny, but its image is, it's an archangel, in this case, in the sky, blowing a trumpet, and these people underneath hearing this thing. And this is a card saying that, yes, this, there is a liberation coming soon. So all the things you were talking about, yes, were they were a good idea to do, and the number of that card is 22, and that equals a 4, so that equals back to a degree of stability. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 20, so it's 2, that means balance, which is similar. So that is a card of, again, remember how I mentioned before that you were going to have a good new idea? This card fell out of the deck while you were talking to me, and this is kind of a Eureka card. So it's a card about your idea is great, and there might be a better one coming to you soon. It's kind of a wake-up call kind of a card. You know, it's a literally hearing the trumpet coming from the sky from an archangel. So
perfect.
That idea is something that I think you maybe have already been working on, and it's going to lead to a liberation. I'll pull another card here as sort of a backup. And this is you know, again, this is a card. It's funny because I was kind of reading about this one a lot, and it's been coming up for me a lot recently, and that's the King of Swords. And the King of Swords is, he's sitting on a throne, and this is the calm leader. Again, remember your other reading before was talking about calmness, internal search, and the bright idea will come and it'll start working, even though it seems slow at first, and it seemed confusing and slow and all those things, stagnant, but it'll work out. And the King of Swords is calm leadership, but there's still action because he's got a sword in his hand. The sword, you know, cuts through the air, cuts things, and he's high atop a hill, and it's with good communication. So this involves, the King of Swords will involve anything that you're doing. Having good communication skills will definitely work. It involves great communications.
Okay.
Even debating skills are sometimes attributed to the King of Swords. He's the great mental king who's not going to get, because swords are of air, going to get involved way down there in the mucky muck of emotion. The King of Swords floats above the pettiness of these emotional battles and is able to lead from an intellectual point with good communication, good solid information, and calmness. And not this is certainly not, this would be the opposite of a drama queen type car. This is definitely time
exactly.
for calm, cool leadership that can still cut through the air with the sword because you know it's a good idea, but keeping your emotions about you, keeping calm, it's all seeming like a good idea. And it seems like something that seems very liberating and can work. With the Judgment card is a major arcana card. The first one that I pulled for these two, that means it's a deeply spiritual card. And so this is a deeply liberating force. So as far as this reading goes, it seems like it'll be a good, liberating, successful experience with the combining both of the readings now with the muckiness of the past and the confusion and the stagnation starting to slowly release and success coming through calm, collective leadership internally from you. So that is how I get that. It's actually a fairly positive reading. But it does require action. It requires calmness, calm action, which can sometimes be hard when you're really passionate about something.
Oh, no, exactly. And in the sense that I know more, you know, let's say, than when I started a year and a half ago. So now there's a more confidence. There's more confidence going into, you know, conference calls and dealing with individuals and so forth. And I'm stronger in my knowledge aspect of it. So, therefore, you know, I'm not... you know, fearful when I go into these calls and so forth, there's more confidence, and I would assume that they pick up on that and they're more willing to work with rather than kind of go, eh, and look for another source.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it looks all right, and it seems to me just talking to you, even without the cards, it seems like that they match and it seems like your head's in the right place. But that's easier to say than to act on, of course, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know, and because...
And I've kicked that fear behind me a little bit, so that helps as well when you're not working from that base.
Yes. And I, for one, completely understand that because I'm someone who is very passionate about projects that I'm in, and... It's very easy to get emotionally wrapped up, and then you start saying dumb things, then you start turning people off, and you start doing things, and that your passion is speaking ahead of you. And so definitely this reading was one of keeping your head in the right place, being patient, even at times being that calm meditative monk that's how I view the Hanged Man card. It's not a guy hanging, by the way, from a noose, for those that don't know. He's hanging very patiently by one leg from a tree, like an exercise of true meditative patience. So, and again, the King of Swords, another calm leadership card. So I think it was successful as far as attuning to where your mind is. And I'm glad you called us here at Main Street Universe.
Absolutely. So am I. Yeah, thank you for your time. I appreciate it greatly.
Yeah, and feel free. We don't always do the Sunday night divination. We do now and again. Our regular shows come on Wednesday at 11 a.m., and we're often topical and discuss many different things. We actually are a network with 3 or 4 shows. So we have a lot going on. We have a Facebook page. If you see this show's site on Blog Talk Radio, feel free to leave me a message, and I'll give you any other information you want about things that we are involved in, and we're growing and growing, and my projects, right? These are the things
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
At. I'm a musician, too, so I'm passionate about that, too. So.
Thank you. I wish you much success.
Yes, and I as well to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a great night.
Too. And this mic is now being turned off, and I see that our host, co-host Brett Roon-Hillman is on the line, and it's been a long time since I've done a show with Brett, so welcome. You are now on the air, Brett.
Hi, Daniel. It's good to hear your voice on the air once again.
Yes. And Brett recently is resigned from his, I guess it's resigned, from his Pagans Tonight show, which was called at the time Back to Basics. And he will be joining us again on the Main Street Universe Network, both on the flagship show, Wednesday at 11 a.m., as well as his own show at a time to be announced later, I think. But that will be coming very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another, we lost the other caller. I think another caller called for a reading, but I believe he or she is gone now. So it's great to have you back, Brett. Nice to hear your voice on the phone again to do a show.
Good to be here.
And any other news you'd like to share before we move on or to...
One more week of school this semester. No. Other than that, no, not really.
Right. Now, what were you majoring in school?
History. It's a toss-up between history and anthropology.
Mm.
And political science is a minor.
Uh-oh. And for those, he did say political science, but Main Street Universe is not a political show necessarily.
No.
But
we
do sometimes talk about community issues. Which, before we move on, let me expand upon that. This Wednesday, our guest is going to be Mr. Gunther Hauk. And Gunther Hauk is a beekeeper, and we'll be talking about the disappearing honeybee population. And some say the number has been projected as bad as we have already lost 70% of our honeybee population, which can actually lead to a world famine, really. And this problem is not just in the U.S. It's in Britain. It's all around the planet. So we will be bringing on someone who is definitely an expert in the field. He has a lot of good information. He's known in his circles and respected in his circles as a very knowledgeable naturalist and beekeeper and such. So it'll be Gunther Hauk this Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Main Street Universe, which is our flagship show. And we have a new co-hostess. Her name is Janice. She as well has an island music show called The World Reggae Party, and that is on Fairfax Public Access Radio. On top of that, we have Zalrayana Radio on Thursdays with host Evan Poss, and then we have Walking on the Sidewalk with Kevin Baird, the creator of the Horizon Oracle card deck, which is an oracle deck, not the traditional tarot that we're using this evening. And right now, Brett, there are no other callers in the queue for a reading. So what I thought I would do... Oh, I see Hummingbird is chiming in here on the chat room page, which I am close to this evening. Bee Priestess of Isis. Which one is on the topic of movie? Yes, be sure to tune in, Hummingbird, and if you call, we'll put you on the line on Wednesday. It'll be this Wednesday at 11 a.m. So if you want to call in and be part of the panel, I absolutely welcome you. I know you're good at radio, and you've done shows yourself. So I very much, if you want to be a part of the panel, that would be awesome, if you're available at that time frame. I see she is typing, and I will be looking at the chat room to see her response. And then what I'm going to do, since no one is at this time calling for a reading, is I'm going to pick a card and just basically start talking about it. And the card I think I'm going to pick will be determined. Here we go. I'm going to shuffle and shuffle and shuffle. I guess shuffling doesn't sound that awesome on the radio until you get to that part. All right. Something's telling me to grab it from the middle. And I actually saw this one as I was shuffling, and I saw it again, Brett. So this is the one we're going with. And this one
sounds
is...
good to me.
And no, it's not the Hermit, Brett. But it is the Seven of Swords reversed. And the one behind it, by the way, is the Fool, but that one comes up for me a lot. The Seven of Swords is a card often associated with deception.
And that's the one with the man walking away from the camp with a bunch of swords?
Yes. It's associated with sneakiness and deception, and he's definitely being sneaky here. He's kind of tiptoeing, at least... For those of you out there, I am reading from the Rider-Waite-Radiant deck at this point. And when I see the Seven of Swords reversed, of course, then it means that not to worry so much about deceptions, depending on what's around it, of course.
Matter of deception will expose itself.
Yeah, it'll be no longer sneaky and behind the scenes, where if it was upright, as Brett would suggest, I think, from the logic he was using, it would say, okay, something's going on behind your back. You know, if it's reversed, it's you might realize that something's been going on behind your back, kind of a thing. And it's one of those cards... As we sometimes have discussions about reversed or upright, it's one of those cards that can be considered better when it is upside down. So I encourage people to never be afraid to read the old upside down cards. And I also want to encourage anyone out there who's listening that they can call in for a reading or ask for one from the chat room. The number is 760-542-4345. And I see we have a guest that has just recently logged in. Very true, Magical Hummingbird. A lot of the cards have been reversed. I shuffle my deck a lot. I don't just leave it there. And I'm not scared to read them reversed. I did go to get a reading the other day. And one thing from a friend, and paid him a few bucks. He's not too expensive, and I was helping him out, and... Plus, I just like to get them from other people sometimes and just have an outside take on things. And I get a little weird if I think the reading looks too happy. Like, it makes, you know, it just makes me think, okay, is this realistic? Especially if the presenter or the reader is presenting it to be way too happy without making it seem like balanced guidance, if you know what I mean. I would rather someone just say, okay, here's a lesson to be learned from this and here's that. If every time you go to a reader and every time they flip the cards and it's like, you're cool, you're awesome, you kick ass, and you're going to make $1 million, I just don't think that, well, it would be awesome if that was true, but to me, it's going to seem more realistic if there is a little bit of darkness in there and a little bit of...
That or that deck is telling you exactly what you want to hear because you know it won't listen to you if it puts anything truthful out.
And this does happen sometimes, is especially in the world of paid readings of readings for money. And a lot of people will say, well, I don't like that reader. I paid him $20 and he didn't. Basically what they're saying is he didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, but he might actually be a really good reader, he or she. And they'll go, oh, that reading wasn't what I wanted to hear. And I paid them.
More like,
you know.
we are at the minority of the spiritual discipline, Daniel, and you know it.
And I would also like to say that I do not do readings, or I never have done a reading for money at this point in my life. I will, I have no more objection to it, if you know what I mean. I'm lighting a candle here. But I don't have anything. I think it's perfectly fine. I think if the person charges a reasonable fee and isn't ridiculous or trying to be deceptive in any way and just does it, I think it's, you know, my co-host Kevin Baird, that's, he does readings for money, and it's a perfectly legitimate practice, morally and religiously, in my opinion. And I think some people take advantage of it a little bit. And some do that thing. This could be a topic for a whole other show, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
Of the readers that just tell people what they want to hear to make a pile of cash.
I think there are rules for that most good readers follow.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, I don't know if it's a code of conduct per se, but I think they follow rules.
Yeah, they're sort
and
of
the ones that just do it for the money will be rather clear that they're just doing it for the money.
Yeah, you can kind of tell. I mean, there are the people that reach way too hard to try to get like a really powerful hit of some kind. I'm using the word hit kind of loosely. Then there are people that just, you just go with the flow and you just read the cards and, you know, it turns out how it does. It's your language you've opened up with spirit. And it does look like Brett, and Brett, I'm not even kidding, the fool just popped out of my deck as I was shuffling. And if for those of you that don't know our internal joke we're talking about here, Brett always gets the hermit card and I get the fool card all the time. And the hermit is sort of the teacher and wise teacher, and the fool is the beginning of the journey, the adventurer. Still time to be full of action and bravery and go on little adventures. And we do actually, Brett, have a call.
But I want to state first that I think the fool this time might be for me.
Oh, okay.
Because my first show, I'm going to actually be going through the tarot for my first, at least first season of shows. Season, relatively loosely, if we're doing it every week. But I'm going to go through the tarot, and it might be a loose connection or it might be a relatively strong connection. My first one is going to be beginning the show, the journey of the show, and it's going to be related to the fool. The second week, my plan is to talk a little bit about magic and prayer and spiritual workings, and the card is related to the magician.
Okay. That's
so
really
it's a
cool.
That's a slightly looser connection, but it's still pretty close. For example, like the death card, if we do that, I might actually talk about death, or I might talk about changes. So it can be either really like superficial, it can be close, or it can be completely from left field, as long as there's some connection to it.
Right. And that's great, and that does make sense because, you know, the fool is the beginning, and Brett is about to begin his journey as hosting his own show, as well as, I think, being part of the Wednesday show. So do you have your cards with you, Brett?
I'm ready.
Okay, we'll do a dual reading this time, or we'll do it as it naturally projects, and you'll tell what you think of the cards as well. 817, I'm about to turn your microphone on. Hello, 817, are you there?
Hello, yes, I am. And that full card might be for me, guys.
Oh, okay. It did happen just about when you called, so maybe it's for all three of us.
Probably so. Include me.
Three's a magic number.
did you want a general reading? Spirit, yeah, just to see what Spirit has for me.
Awesome. And your name, by the way, just...
It's Monica.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to shuffle and tell me when to stop. I'm shuffling now.
We need that music. Okay.
Okay. That was just me humming.
Right, but okay, now.
Okay, I did stop. I stopped when you said okay. Now I'll cut the cards into three piles and choose from one, two, or three.
Three.
Okay, now choose from one or two.
Two.
And we know what the final answer is. I guess I got to stop saying that, or I'll start to sound like we're just filming. All right. General message. You're going to think this is interesting. The final card of the three, Brett, was the Fool reversed. So the Fool card came up again in just a couple minutes.
I have reversed.
So.
For my final card.
Here are the three I've drawn for you. One is the King of Wands. King of Wands is upside down. The other one, or reversed. Reversed means upside down for those that do not know. And the next one is the Knight of Swords. The next one, as we have said, is the Fool reversed. So this would tell me that there was a feeling that something you were working on was not working out. And that is what the King of Wands reverse is representing to me. Is
and
there's action.
Not only that it,
go ahead, Brett.
And not only that it wasn't working out, you have the feeling you knew what was wrong, or it was at the very tip of your tongue, but it just could not seem to reveal itself. I have the moon reversed, which would, for me, always means something that there is something obviously under the surface, you just can't figure out what it is. Something is not clear.
Right.
And I agree with Brett's assessment of that, of because the King is very wise and knowledgeable and knows what's going on, but it wasn't working, and you're not exactly sure why, coming to his moon reversed, which moon is inner intuitive wisdom. And a very interesting card. I actually am very fond of the moon card, one of my favorite cards in the tarot deck. The next card, and this is the second time this card's come up tonight, is the Knight of Swords upright, meaning perhaps some aggressive action for a great idea is necessary here. However, the following card, the Fool, it's the Fool reverse, so that's telling me that sometime soon a good new idea to charge forward on could be coming to you, but it's not exactly time to take aggressive action on it now, because it's the Fool, which is a major arcana card, reversed. The Fool upright is new beginnings, and it's also adventure. It's the Fool, literally, it's a guy kind of not looking, and he's about to jump off the mountain, and sometimes that bravery is totally necessary in life. And his little dog is trying to stop him, or is at least trying to communicate with him. And when it's reversed, it's saying to me that it's not time to jump forward and take a big risk right now. And Brett, how about your additional cards for this?
All right, I'm going to take us back, because I think you did kind of jump the gun a little bit. I think you actually did some of the problems with the Fool reversed. But,
oh, okay.
Let's back up. The Five of Wands is what I have for her current card, or at least her middle card of the three, and that's challenge, which really fits with the Knight of Swords. What do you think of when you think of knights and swords? You think of a battle's getting ready here.
Yeah.
And it really fits, and wands generally work well with ideas and intellect, so it really fits well with Daniel's assessment. And the next card for you, I have the Eight of Cups, which for the Eight of Cups itself is the departure card.
Yeah.
The card in, I believe, the Rider Wyatt is someone who has a lot of stuff and is just turning away from it and walking away. In my deck, it's a little bit more complicated than that because they're leaving the good with the bad, the way that it looks in my heard. You're kind of just washing your hands of this, but for it's reversed. So you've got – it's kind of a more going inward, kind of trust and realize when it's time to leave, something will tell you.
Right.
Like the Fool reversed, don't jump ahead.
It's not time to leave or jump away yet, I guess.
Right, it will happen, but wait for it to come to be the right moment.
I still want to draw another like conclusion card for this, something a little clearer to take away. So I'm going to ask you, and Brett, you can draw one as well as a comparative. I want to ask you to pick from piles 1, 2, or 3. The caller, that is.
Give me 3.
3. Okay. This one is the Two of Swords reversed, which means all of these final cards that we're getting here are telling me, and I think Brett will agree, about there's a little bit of time for inner search to let go of indecision and to still realize that you have the power, because I had two swords. Swords can cut through the air, and they're good ideas and all of these things. But not time to jump yet. Not time to leap yet into the next thing. Time to look inward and get rid of things like indecision and any insecurities or anything of that nature before making your next move. Like a little bit of internal searching to work on some of those things. And it's a minor arcana card, so this isn't like, you know, total drama here. This is just working on some things internally and mentally and spiritually before moving on, making sure things are, you know, you're not just, you're operating from a calm and not indecisive place.
Right.
And my second card, my last card, is the Queen of Wands reversed, which really fits with all these other cards. Because it's saying to trust your own instincts. As much as the other people around you in your life love you and want what's best for you, they don't see what you see. They don't see the picture as you see it. They are thinking of what they think you should do or how they see the situation, how they would handle it. Unfortunately, you're not them.
Exactly.
I can tell by the feeling I'm getting from the cards, you love the people around you. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
They
yes,
just don't get it.
No, they don't. And I don't think they ever will.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Right. So, again, a lot of this almost seemed like what I like to call kind of a quiet reading. You know, some readings like are like, bam, do this and go take action and da-da-da. This is one of those quiet, introspective things of coming to understanding and of letting go of indecision and of understanding that others don't necessarily understand you.
Exactly. And I think that's been my hardest thing, is to let it go, to accept that they will not ever get the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my hardest thing. And if y'all are just confirming that for me.
And that's sometimes that's all a reading is, you know, it's just an emotional consultant or a personal consultant. And then sometimes you get the big hit where it really predicts like a really incredible thing. But
right.
And a lot of times it's just, I consider them to be the cards to be little consultants.
Okay.
And
yeah, and I'm headed the right way then. I'm on my path.
Yeah, yeah.
Just remember to go slow.
So soon.
Yep.
In fact, I was ready.
Just go slow. One of my favorite instances of the turtle from the Tortoise and the Hare story. Slow and steady wins the race.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have had to learn patience over the years, let me tell you. Thank you very much for the reading. I appreciate it.
And thank you very much for joining us here on Main Street Universe on our special Sunday night that we do from time to time. Our normal show comes on Wednesday at 11 a.m. if you want to check it out. And thank you again.
Thank you.
And now I'll turn her microphone off. All right. You're still there, right, Brett? I didn't hit the wrong one.
I'm here. I'm here.
Yes, it was,
you can hear
one of those. It was definitely one of those quiet kind of readings. That's what I call those. It just, every card I kept flipping up was some sort of, you know, internal search, quiet thing. And patience and all those qualities that I need to work on as well.
Mm-hmm. And all the cards agreed. Both our readings kind of were in the same place there.
Yeah. And some people could argue, they could say, oh, there's so many cards that can be the same. But at the same time, it can always turn out dramatically different. You know, the card wasn't like readings that come out of, you know, jump forward and definitely take dramatic action. All of them were basically about understanding, overcoming indecision, not being too aggressive about certain things. The only thing about the Queen of Wands reversed is sometimes there's a guard against being kind of a know-it-all yourself. There's kind of a guard against arrogance when it comes to Queen of Wands reversed.
For me, it is, for my deck, it is called, known as the guide.
Mm-hmm.
That is a worry, but I think with the reading, the way that it fit...
And what's around it.
Was not worry about you. It was... It would have been kind of like contradicting the rest of the reading if it had been that way.
No, I read it the same way you did. It was at that point, because of the cards around it, which can change what's there, it was meant to be complementing the King of Wands reversed, which started the reading. If you remember, that was the first card that started it.
Right.
And so I thought you had a really good take on that when you said about, yeah, but it was something you know, but it's just not working out how you like. I thought you did a good job with that.
Well, that's one of those cards that, you know, really I've understand is the personality of the reader. That is how I've come to take that card. And it kind of, when that comes up that way, it really doesn't matter what the cards around it are. That's one of those, yeah, we're buds. We know what we're talking about when that card comes up, you know? Like you said, you're very fond of the moon card. I get the moon reversed card a lot, and it always, 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 always means that.
Yeah, it's funny. The more you study this, it's like, the more you learn all the time. It's just, there's always everybody that exists on different levels on any educational issue. And with tarot, it's the same thing. You think you got a hold of it one day, and then somebody says something and just a little twist of their sentence, and you go, oh, I never thought of it that way before. And now you have to re-examine how you see it when it comes out in a layout.
I may have to someday, but right now we're kind of working on that same steam there. And it...
Yeah.
So well with the king, and then, you know, and the knight and the five of wands and the knight of swords fit very well together. A challenge, a knight standing up to be ready for the challenge. It kind of fit really well.
Yeah, there was a challenge, and you had to use your intellect for that challenge, and that's part of what the knight of swords is all about. Because, well, in my interpretations, and it's whatever language you open up to spirit, in mine, swords is air, and in many traditions it is. In some traditions, the swords represent fire. I'm not trying to confuse the listeners here. I'm just saying both of them make sense. It's whatever one you open up for yourself works for you, and then the cards will be sort of spit out accordingly towards the individual. Divination can be done with three rocks. And it can be done with rolling dice. It can be done with tea leaves. There are so many different ways to open up a channel. And my favorite are cards. I don't really use Ouija boards. I don't have a more objection to those things. I'm just saying I just don't. The cards are my favorite. So
I know
some
people that have real problems with the Ouija board. I personally don't have a problem with it, but I don't use them at all either. The cards are my favorite. I'm very respectful of the cards.
I saw Magic Hummingbird commented on your turtle and hare race, and that was definitely how I saw that reading. It was definitely the slow and steady wins the race. So again, I like the way you ended that. There are no callers right now, so what I'm going to do is draw another card, and we'll just discuss it, because that's what we do when there's not. Or if there's someone in the chat room that would like a reading, feel free to just make yourself known, chat, and say, hey, pull a few cards for me. Question and or general would be fine, either way. And I'm going to go ahead now, pull from the middle of the deck. And this card, and the one next to it is one I like to discuss too. Because some of these, I notice we're getting, when I'm pulling these for the purposes of discussion, we're getting minor arcana cards. And a lot of people, when they learn tarot, have more difficulty with the minor arcana cards. For me, it was the opposite, but that's just me.
I think a lot of teachers start with the major arcana, which are talking about big, broad spiritual concepts. They are massive cards. They think of, okay, to use a weapons analogy, think of the minor arcana as a skid missile while thinking of the major arcana as atomic bombs.
Yes.
They are huge, and most teachers start with the big and then expect you to understand the small. You kind of got to work your... start from the bottom and work your way up.
When I started, I was both blessed and cursed with being dramatically poor. And I just started with a deck of playing cards. And so what happened was, I mean, I had owned tarot cards in the past before I decided to get serious about it. And we do have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and take the caller, but I'll finish my point. And I see you there, caller. We'll get right to you after I make my point. And so I just bought like a tarot book and learned what the suits and the numbers meant. And I just had a playing, I got it at a book exchange that was near where I lived. So I just had this, traded one book in for the next. I was very broke at the time in my life, folks. and so I just started reading with playing cards. And I think you've heard me mention that before about, you know, just having a deck of playing cards around to practice on. It's an interesting game. It's an interesting exercise game to use regular playing cards to practice with. You're missing the major arcana, but it can really help you with the minor arcana to learn them. And you're not even looking at the picture, so you just have to go on the knowledge of it. So, but I'm going to go ahead and turn on the mic for WD Base 81. And hello, your microphone is on. How are you, WD Base?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Okay. And
very well.
Did you want a general reading?
I don't have. I do not know what my personal card is.
Oh, that's okay. As far as reading with the specific layouts, those things. Make a difference to some people, but in truth, there are so many ways and so many different layouts. You can just ask a question and we'll, or just ask for a general message and we'll just lay them out and sort of do it in a more organic fashion or a past, present, future fashion sometimes. I know what you're talking about, the personal card being the Querent card and the Celtic cross spread. And sometimes in some of the other more traditional and more structured spreads. But that's okay. Just if you
in the off chance that we use that, I have a card that's it's called the Seeker card, which is not really one of the cards. It just does
it
its represents. Job. Just everybody, because if you're coming to a reading, you're a seeker. So
if you want to use that as You're covered.
Well, okay, my question is, you know, I've been working on some meditation lately. I'm just trying to get a general reading or a message or, you know, make sure I'm on the right track here.
Okay. So a spiritual quest, in a way. And what I'll do is I'll shuffle, and this is where your involvement will come in, is let me know when to stop shuffling. Even if you don't hear them, I am shuffling.
Now.
Okay. I've stopped, and I'm going to break it up into three piles. And just as the old saying goes, three is a magic number, and three is very significant in metaphysical circles and practices. And now, choose from pile one, two, or three.
Let's go two.
Okay. One or three?
Three.
Okay. And the last is one.
I want to ask something first before you go any further. Are you beginning a new type of education?
Yes. I'm actually, I've had a kind of calling to learn Latin. And not modern Latin. I don't know.
Well, that fits very well with two cards I have here.
Yeah, I've never seen a second language before, and I just kind of had a calling to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say what cards I have while Daniel's preparing himself. I have the Page of Cups reversed, the Page of Pentacles, and the Page of Pentacles is the reason I asked, are you beginning a new educational pursuit? And the Knight of Swords reversed. So we've had quite a few reversed cards tonight, but just the way that the cards have laid out. And I'm going to wait for Daniel's cards to come up, because my beginning card is kind of throwing me off right now, but it might fit if I understand Daniel's three. But right now, your future card and your current card actually fit very well with the fact that you're beginning something new. The Page of Pentacles is known as the student. And the Knight of Swords is the philosopher. And I'm thinking the way that you kind of just said you had a calling to learn Latin kind of takes away the philosopherness of it.
Well,
I don't know about that, but go ahead.
You don't mind me
just
in there.
I've
also been studying, recently started studying occult and esoteric and philosophy.
So that works.
Right. Just give me a sec what I'm saying. I think you're going to start to develop a more, not just a philosophical love for it, I think you're going to start to see a practical love for it, and I think that's what you're missing.
That's what you were saying. You were saying he's going to go from student to practitioner, basically.
That's what I'm thinking.
From scholar to practitioner, perhaps.
Yes. The difference between the book learner and the mystic. I think you're going to take a different route than you expected, and because it's going to be something that might resonate with you. Anyway, Daniel, go ahead and tell me what you got.
Yes, and it's funny. The only one that's throwing me a really a wild card here, if you will, is the first one is the Seven of Swords. And because we were talking about traditional layouts, I got the feeling, even though I don't always do this, but this is what just came, you know, how I felt. I get the feeling that he felt it, or there was deception in the past. And we're talking about something spiritual, and swords are mental and can be considered spiritual, intellectual. And so there's, to me, and this will make sense, Brett, as it goes on, as I talk about the other cards, I think this means feeling very unsatisfied with his path, like something's going on behind your back, something deceptive.
That's why I
so you want to go somewhere
else. The Page of Cups.
So now you want to learn
something. I think something.
Go ahead.
I think you had a wake-up call.
Correct.
you realized you weren't satisfied. And that's why I was trying to stop you, Dana, because you kind of hit a point that I was trying to get. So I was like,
maybe
wait a sec.
Even. Maybe spiritually or intellectually.
Right. Just something kind of woke up and resonated, and that's why you're kind of going in a different direction. A lot of people that take on a spiritual path, and I mean a heavy spiritual path, usually were very active in something they were in before. A lot of people who go on to study the esoterica might have been real active in, say, in their church originally, but somehow kind of fell out of favor. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but something, you were doing something and it seems to have been almost a dream, like say you were happy, but then something just stopped.
Yeah, I've always had a big... It just didn't seem right to me in the Christian faith, or not just the Christian faith, but you know, there was just something wrong with churches in general that I just didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've always been a very spiritual person, but I didn't.
Right.
I've never believed I had to go to a church to be spiritual.
Yeah, and I think that actually might fit more well with Daniel's card. It's not that they were personally sneaky, but something just didn't sit right with you.
Yeah, that's the impression I got, because it's, you know, there's that fine line between, you know, intellectual and spiritual, right? And I feel like he was feeling both intellectually cheated and spiritually cheated as well. And the next card being the King of Cups. And the King of Cups is upright, and the King of Cups is a very interesting card, because this means a traumatic or interesting emotional power, because it is a king, and the cups is about intuitive wisdom and emotion, and this is something, you know, intuition and depth and creativity and spirituality, and the King of Cups is interested, and that's how I see where you are right now. Like I said before, I don't always put them in classical roles, but I see this as past, present, and future. The King of Cups is where you are in the present, and you're someone who's interested in things like art and music and careers relating to, maybe even related to spirituality or nature, perhaps, like maybe park ranger or something like that, or maybe you are interested in wondering what possibilities will come from your new spiritual search, and what kind of life can you make out of that as the king? Because now it's emotional. Your emotions are involved. You're in a new spiritual search, and that's a beautiful place to be. And this is a very positive card, because it's an upright king of that search. So,
I can tell you, just based on our conversations, that it's a state that me and Daniel have both been in.
It's a great place to be.
We kind of know where you're standing. Trust me, we get it. It's not... I walked away from a different tradition, a different path, and I have no ill will towards my former path, but it wasn't fulfilling.
Yes.
But from this King of Cups, this is showing me... See, the cup is the water, holds the water from the wells of wisdom, from the wisdom of life, of emotion and creativity, and even of art. There's almost like an artistic creativity thing involved with this card as well. So this is a new creative path for you, to where you may not only become a practitioner, you may become somebody who is sort of a known practitioner in whatever this new path is. If it happens to be something, you know, I'm just taking a guess. I don't know what you're choosing. If you're saying New Age or pagan or Buddhist or whatever, but you may become really active and maybe even in charge and have leadership roles in that. But at the present, it's a really powerful experience for you, and I definitely encourage you to keep going, because the next card after that is the World Upright, which is not only a card of great abundance, but it's also, you ask a spiritual question, and one could say that it's great spiritual abundance. That this will lead you, though it may change many times, as can happen, as Brett can testify, as he once set out to be a Christian deacon. Or you are, actually.
I was a Christian deacon. I almost became a pastor.
Yeah, Brett, though now he is of a, you know, sort of an eclectic pagan path, Brett is a Christian deacon and understands the spiritual search thing, which is why I love a question like this. And I myself am on a pagan clergy path. And the world is, you know, attainment and liberation, and it's just a great card of definitely saying you're on the right direction. This is not something to be afraid of, because a world will be opened up to you, literally the world, in the case of this card, it will be opened up to you, and at least for the terms of this reading, which is, I would say, you know, in the near future and a bit beyond, this will be a very satisfying experience and may become your new life in some way. I don't know exactly what form that will take, whether you decide to, whether it just becomes just something that you're really into on your own time, or whether you decide to even sort of make it part of your life where you're living economically, as some people do, or as some people engage in sort of pagan clergy or alternative religion or just new age religion clergy, which happens, such as one of our guests who is Science of Mind Church, Reverend Trish Hall, not exactly using words, you know, she doesn't use words like witch or pagan or anything like that. They just believe in the law of attraction and positivity, and they do positivity meditations together and stuff like that, and they make a nice little life for themselves doing it. There's so many different eclectic and other ways you can take it.
Yes, I've been.
Long story short, I think you're definitely on something that will be very satisfying for you. I think it's a good idea. The world card is a very powerful card to have for that.
Yeah,
I do want to say.
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I've actually been listening to a lot of Abraham Hicks recordings. So, you know, that law of attraction thing really is actually really, mm-hmm. I find that very, I respond to that. I don't know why. I guess.
I would say look into it more. A lot of spiritual paths use, they call it different things, but it's the same rule.
Yeah.
And keep yourself open. You might find yourself once again sitting in a place you never expected. You might even find yourself in a different Christian church. I don't know. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying keep yourself open and listen for things that resonate with you. Because
I've always been a very openly emotional, you know, very open person. So that I would not have an issue with that.
Yes,
but
and you were the King of Cups in the present in that reading, which says you're not ashamed and you can actually have a degree of control over your emotions, I think, is part of that King of Cups mentality that I think that you have at present. It's a good, great, exciting time to be you right now and to be part of this search, and it's a great thing to be a part of, and I say go 100%. Here is your journey, you know. Go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
And find many great teachers. Yeah. And remember that none of these teachers by themselves are perfect. And to keep your mind about you. You know, because there's a lot of different stuff out there.
Yeah, I want to say be the student. Because you are the student right now. Be the student. But if something just doesn't feel right, don't go with it. Go with your gut.
Yeah. Yeah. As I've always done that.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I definitely say stay on this path and see where it leads you. It seems like a lot of interesting possibility for it for you. You know, the world's a very powerful card to get with.
And if you feel so inclined, you know, keep in touch. Our show is on 3 times a week. Keep in touch with us.
Okay,
yeah, please.
I have, real quick, I was in meditation 2 weeks ago, and a name that I had never heard of before had actually, for some reason I heard it, I didn't just hear it. It was Azrael or Raviel. After doing some research, you know, I was just wondering if y'all knew anything about those two names.
Azrael.
I've heard of a thing called, if it's the same actual name, I've heard of a thing called the Fires of Azrael. I've heard the name meaning that's a divination fire. Like you, but it almost has an angelic archangel kind of name sound to it, but I'm honestly not an expert on that, so I'm sure.
It is the angel, it is possible one of the names of the angel of death. And death names change.
Oh my God.
In a lot of places.
For real, I picked up the death card when he was asking that question. And
yeah, it is the angel of death.
I'm not even, literally the shivers are going up my spine when you said that, because I didn't say, because I was like, well, he's asking, I'm going to pick up a card, and the death card came up. I just grabbed the deck and picked it up in the middle, and you said angel of death, so I was like, now that means change, so
but
that doesn't mean actual dying, that means death and rebirth is all part of the cycle of nature,
yeah,
and you're going through a change now.
Yeah, as far as death goes, you know, it's, you know, I'm kind of, I'm at the point in my life to where I'm kind of, you know, I'm okay with the idea. And, you know, because it is just a passing on to the next journey.
Right.
But after, you know, it was very strange and it was very clear, you know, I actually kind of felt it and, you know, it was very, I don't know, it kind of freaked me out because it was only the second time I've started meditating and it happened.
Wow.
You know,
it freaked me out a little bit because I pulled the death card, and I'm not trying to pull off a magic show, folks. I mean, Brett knows I'm being legit. I should have said it as he was saying it.
I took out the Wikipedia article because I knew I recognized the name. The name literally translates into whom God helps.
Wow.
Remember that as because God, Spirit,
yes,
whatever you choose to call it, will help you on this path. You're not walking it alone.
Yes. All positive words. I like it. Thank you.
That's right.
Well, that's the thing. It's not, I don't think you're getting a negative message here, but remember, if Spirit tells you that you're supposed to go hurting people, generally don't listen to that. That's probably not Spirit.
And attuned to very, very high vibrations, and that, you know, anything like that is very low and negative, which I'm totally against.
I agree. That is a response of low energy frequencies. And I'm really glad you called, because I love when we get a spiritual question. You know, those are the sorts of ones that are just, in my opinion, it's nice to talk to somebody that's passionate about that kind of change. There's nothing wrong with the other questions out there, folks. As the old saying is for readers, you're usually asking to get paid or to get laid. So it's nice to get a spiritual question. And I think that...
Wow, we are definitely in sync.
And we do have a Facebook page. It's under Main Street Universe. I don't think you need like a direct link to find it.
Yeah.
So you will be able to find us again. We are going to be here. If you have a problem finding it, just join us in the chat room. Sometimes we'll send a link. Our next show is Wednesday at 11?
Mm-hmm. Wednesday, 11 a.m. We do a morning show at 11 a.m. And... that's followed by a Thursday show with another host, Zariana Radio, and also Kevin Baird's show, who he's a reader himself, called Walking on the Sidewalk, Horizon Oracle's Journey. So thank you very much for joining us today. We really liked your call, and good luck, or better yet, maybe good intention on your spiritual journey. I think you're going to do very well. And thank you for joining us. Okay. I think he's off now. Are you still there, Brett?
I'm here.
Okay. His call went off. And that was a great caller. I love calls like that and readings like that. It's an interesting place to be. It's a fun place to be. It's a great place to be when you, hey, I'm new and starting a new journey and involved in that whole process of finding a whole new way to look at things internally.
We actually kind of had, we had a quiet reading and we kind of had an active reading. I wouldn't say it was loud, but it was active.
Yeah.
He needs to, you know, if he's on a spiritual journey, by God, he's on a spiritual journey, and he needs to do it, you know.
And he had great.
It was kind of what I was getting.
On my end, he had amazing cards. I mean, he had past, present, future, and I'm aware that it's about 90 seconds left. Past, present, future. Past was feeling deceived. Present was the King of Cups. He's emotionally okay now, and he's ready to move on, and all sorts of the strength and the beauty that comes with the King of Intuitive Wisdom. And then on to the World being the final one, which is, you know, can't ask for much better than that, folks.
And mine was, you know, he got the wake-up call.
Yeah, the trumpet.
The second card was he is beginning the student, and then he is becoming the practitioner.
Yes. We have about 55 seconds left, Brett. So thank you very much for joining me. I really liked your extra insights on the readings. I kind of like when someone else joins me. It's not, of course, like, you know, the fact I don't feel competitive when somebody does that is what I mean. I enjoy it when they add their insights. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go ahead and take us out here with a song, again, by our friends, Woven Green. Thank you, everyone, for joining us Sunday night, Main Street Universe. Blessed be.